This podcast is for the brave hearts, the black sheep, the rebels. If you're willing to face your fears and optimize your time on this planet, you are among friends. This is the Erin Evans Podcast. Hello and welcome back. There was a little girl who came home from school one day, and she started rattling off to her father all the great answers she had given the teacher that day at school. And her dad says, "Yeah, but did you ask any really good questions?" Mic drop. What a good daddy. That indicates to me the potency of our availability to each other. We are belonging-based beings, and the most healing, loving, supportive action we could ever take is to listen to each other. But what makes it so freaking hard? To listen is to not need to contribute or be heard. It's not to sound smart or to fix. It's the act of giving our full attention to another with no expectation on results and no judgment. When you have someone that actually listens to you, it's so validating. You feel supported and seen, safe and acknowledged, loved. You see your potentiality and your blind spots. It's the reason why talk therapy and coaching is so popular, because we actually have to pay for someone to listen to us. If you are in any relationship, professionally, romantically, parentally, take the wax out of your ears and listen to the 12 obstacles that prevent you from being present with the people in your life. Number one, mind reading. We assume that we know what the person is about to say, so we stop listening. After you've known somebody for a really long time, you think you know them. And in the knowing of them, you give them no space to evolve. Yeah, I know where this is going. I know what they're going to say. Yeah, we've been here before. That is not being present. That is not being loving. That is putting someone in a box, and anything you put in a box dies, like your relationship. Number two, we are in rehearsal mode, preparing our response so we sound smart or we get to direct the conversation. Number three, filtered or selective attention. We are only allowing information that we deem important or interesting enough to land. As a parent, this is really hard for me, because sometimes what my son talks about is so boring, like quantum physics or atoms. And I'm like, buddy, bit much. But I am forcing myself to be engaged and stop the filtered listening. Number four is we're being judgmental. When someone is sharing a truth with us, in our heads, we're thinking, I would never do that. We're feeling superior. There's a hierarchy. Number five, we're distracted. We are either thinking or fantasizing about what is yet to come. We're checking our phone. We're not really in it with them. Number six, we step into the fix-it role. We become the advisor. One of my dear friends always says that giving unsolicited feedback is a microaggression. So instead of offering up what we believe to be solutions to their problems, we are just to sit back, to let them share, to vent, to explore, to explain. Number seven, we spar. We want to fight. We want to add controversial statements. We play devil's advocate. There is a time to be argumentative, and there is a time to simply sit in the presence of another. Number eight, needing to be right. Number nine, derailing the conversation, pivoting it in a different direction, even threading in our own personal agenda, our experience of something very similar. Number 10, placate. We are too quick to agree. Oh, I see. I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I understand. Instead of allowing there to be space for our friend, our lover to process. Number 11, we are comparing ourselves. Are we smarter, richer, prettier, more accomplished than the person that is communicating with us? Because if we are in this comparative model, it's hard to listen. It's our personal agenda that is now on the table of, oh no, like they're better than me. Number 12, this is a big one. It is projection. Projection is when we have a feeling directly about ourselves, but we displace it and we put it on the other. It's placing attributes that are inside of us, negative emotions or feelings of insecurity, and putting them out onto the person that's speaking. We do this because we want to defend ourselves. We want to protect ourselves. And it might show up in the form of someone who is unfaithful, projecting infidelity on the other. Someone who has an anger problem feels like the other person is really angry. Early on, when I was becoming a coach, I asked a friend if I could coach him, and then he would just give me feedback. It was the absolute greatest thing I ever did. He would, in the midst of our conversation, be like, "Stop touching your hair, it's making it sexual. When I look off to the side, don't cut me off, I'm thinking." And in those moments, I learned some valuable lessons about what it means to listen. And there are a couple things to consider in order to get yourself skin in the game for the conversation with the person in front of you. So I am always reading body language. I think that our body and our facial expressions give us away more than our words do. I'm looking for the intent. I want to know what the person is needing to share. What's their motive for having this conversation with me? I'm using clarifying questions if I don't quite get it. And I think that a really good listener has the aptitude to connect the dots, to show somebody patterns that this person may not have had on their own. One big thing is open-ended questions. So not a yes, no, and also not directing or leading the witness, so to speak. So you're trying to get them to say something instead of just getting exploratory by asking really good questions that lets them process things in a totally different way. What I love about good conversation, good listening, good coaching is when you ask a really spot-on question that cuts through the BS and goes straight to the heart, there is a shift in consciousness for both the listener and the speaker. So in my listening, in your listening, you have access to a greater comprehension of the human psyche. To be a good listener costs you nothing, and the return on investment is high. I can guarantee you'll get job promotions, better dates, have more fun when you learn what questions to ask. When you get out of the seat of the expert and projecting yourself onto every situation, you create a safe landing place for someone. I recall this memory so vividly of teaching yoga in the park, and all the students were in Shavasana, and this one woman sat up abruptly, and I'm staring at her, and she's staring at me, and she starts weeping, like snot bubble crying. And I just sat there, and I didn't get up to fix it or bring her Kleenex or rub her back. I just looked at her. And after the class, she came up to me and said there had been a death in the family. And she said, "I think all I needed was to be witnessed in my grief." And she felt so much relief simply by being seen by someone who was caring. Never forget that you have a great influence over people, whether it's a stranger or a loved one. Your capacity to simply listen or be there could change the trajectory of their day or even their life. I'll leave you with a poem I wrote about sitting with someone, listening to someone. I seek through fog, overgrown forest, rain clouds. I squint into the sunlight for you, for the awakened one, the one that knows how to meet this moment with a nervous system built over a billion years that knows how to deal, make right, make matter. And I'll sit with an unflinching eye on that one and see what comes online for you. We become because of how we see each other. I'll see the one inside of you that is alive in the story, knowing that this is useful. Put here for you, on purpose, built for you. And if it hits my gut and grips my solar plexus, if it becomes visceral and real personal, I know I've lost you and it's become mine. I'll come back to you, to sit with you with my unflinching eye, to trust in your skill, capacity, and intelligence. You got this. Okay, my loves, now go out into the world and change it. I dare you today to give one person your undivided attention, to read their body language between the lines, to stay with them instead of interjecting, and notice where you feel the urge to fix or add in or control the situation. If you liked what you heard, be sure to rate and subscribe to this podcast. Until next time, as Carl Jung said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.